I want to thank everyone who came to join us in worship today, all our visitors, and all the people who are sitting here, as long as the members who are joining us through our video worship. And also I want to thank not only the choir, but David Tanner for such a lively performance of the word. Amen? Today we are talking about Caleb instead of talking about Joshua. But we know how important Caleb was in influencing the life of Joshua. And I thought that it would be a good time for us to talk and focus onto Caleb and see how this Caleb generation can truly bless the Joshua generation. But before we jump into the words, let us have a time of prayer once more to focus our hearts and ask God to speak to us. Let us all pray. Lord, we come to you knowing that you have a specific purpose and you have a word in our lives. Speak to us as we survey the story of Caleb, who had wholeheartedly loved you. And let us also become a follower of that path, that we can wholeheartedly love you with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our heart, that we will be able to encourage this generation to follow you. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart become only worthy in front of you, and may your words be lifted on high. Open our hearts, open our ears, and open our minds to hear your voice and your voice only. We thank you and pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever heard about a 360 evaluation? 360 evaluation is where you ask an evaluation of yourself, having your input in, also your boss's input, and your coworkers' input, and people who surround you to talk about who you are. And I personally had to go through this 360 evaluation when I was going through the ordination process of the United Methodist Church. They'll ask me of how I was performing and growing as a pastor. And also they would ask my senior pastor, our lay leaders, and also some people in our ministry to evaluate me, which is a very scary thought. Because so often what happens is what I think about myself could be quite different of what people think about me. And even though we had that scary process in the line of this ordination, I still think that that had helped me to grow to a person who I am. And I think that that kind of evaluation and kind words, also sometimes hurtful words, helped me to grow better to carry out this mission and this call. But why am I talking about 360 evaluation? Because today in our Bible verse, we see how Caleb had gone through this 360 evaluation of his passion to follow God. Caleb is a person who is called a person. Caleb was called by God a person who wholeheartedly followed him. And let me ask you a question. The biggest commandment that Jesus Christ had shared and reiterated was to love our God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbors as yourself. And if we go through this 360 evaluation, can you say that you wholeheartedly love God? Yes or no? I think a lot of people can still say yes. But the challenge comes when you ask your family members, if you ask your friends, if you ask your pastor, or the members in your church, if you truly love God and if your life is showing that. Like I said, we are in this 360 evaluation not to discourage us, but actually encourage us to grow and become wholeheartedly following God. And like I said, we are going to share the story of Caleb, who was a wholehearted person on following God's word. Caleb, as you know, has been one of the spies when Moses has sent out one representative of each tribe to the promised land. So it actually says in Numbers chapter 13 that each of the members who were sent in this journey was the leaders of each tribe. And all of these 12 leaders went into the promised land spying around and seeing what God had in store for them. And 12 of them, after 40 days of their journey, came back with a report saying that this land is truly a land of milk and honey. And in our response with them saying that, we should be expecting something very positive. But there was only two who said positive words. It was actually Caleb who jumped in and said, "It is truly a land that God had promised us. Let us go and claim that land." But sadly, 10 out of the 12 said, "No, no, no. The people are too tall and strong. And comparing to them, we are like grasshoppers, and we can never win over this land." Instead of listening to Caleb and Joshua, the whole Israelites, they listened to the 10. And that's when, I have to say, the majority vote in church does not really work. It was 10 versus 2, but God's will was on the 2. When the 10 spooked up the Israelites, and the Israelites starting to whining as they always did in the wilderness, God's rage was upon that nation. God actually wanted to swipe away the whole nation until Moses stepped up in defense of the nation, saying that, "Lord, you cannot swipe them out. What is going to make your name that you pulled them out of Egypt, and now are you going to kill them all in the wilderness?" So God changes his mind, and he says, "I will forgive them, but there is going to be some kind of consequences. Everybody who is 20 and under will not be able to enter the promised land," meaning that everybody over 20 will die in the process of the wilderness because they had to stay there for 40 years, except two people. One was Joshua, who we assumed that he was older than the 20 years old, and then the other was Caleb, who was at that time 40 years old. After 40 years in the wilderness and probably 5 years of going through the promised land, now Caleb is there in front of the mountains that he sought out and he walked over, and he is now claiming it in front of Joshua, saying, "Joshua, give me that land and send me out, because that is the land that God had promised me of following God wholeheartedly." And this is when I say the 360 evaluation starts. Number one, he says this: "My companions, who are the other 10, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God." And who is this? Caleb, saying that, "I follow God with all my heart." But is it only Caleb that says it? If you go to verse 9, it says, "And Moses, who was actually the boss at that time, swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your feet has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and for your children forever, because you have wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God.'" Now the second person acknowledged Caleb, who had wholeheartedly followed God. And if you go to Numbers chapter 14, verse 14, this is what God says after that incident of the report of the spies: "My servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly." Isn't that awesome? Not only that, he himself says that he follows God wholeheartedly, his coworker, his boss, says he follows God wholeheartedly, and now his final recognitions come from who? God himself. And God says, Caleb follows me with all his heart. But it is interesting. God says, Caleb has a different spirit. And this is where I'm trying to go to. It is so interesting that this story of the spies are in Numbers chapter 14. This story of Caleb claiming his land is in Joshua chapter 14. And if you go to John chapter 14, you will see where I'm going about this different spirit. John chapter 14, 15 says, if you love me, and I'll add wholeheartedly, keep my commands. And I will ask, I is Jesus, will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And this means that God is promising the people who will wholeheartedly follow him, his Holy Spirit. And when God said Caleb had a different story, spirit, it means that Caleb was filled with the Spirit. Amen? So what does that mean? Caleb's spirit was different in three ways. First, Caleb's spirit was young. In the age of 85, he still said, I can fight like a warrior. Give me the land that God had promised me. And his spirit was filled with the youth because he knew that there was a purpose in his life. And he followed his purpose with all his heart. And it's so interesting that whenever I meet our matured members in our congregation, they never tell me their age. But they actually tell me, I'm 39. Our members, our matured members, are young at heart. And I know that they are setting an example of following God with all their heart. And I know that there is still something that your heart will be able to contribute into this next generation. So please continue to live in that young heart as Caleb has done. The second spirit that Caleb has is the visionary spirit. Remember the land that he is claiming right now is actually the land that he had trotted 45 years before. And what did he do? As he was walking over the land and as he came back and as he was in the wilderness, he had that vision that God has gave me that land and will give me that land. And I'm going to wait until that land comes into my inheritance. And he kept on to that vision. So when the time came, in his age of 85, he said, give me that land and send me out. Because that is the vision that God had gave me. Which actually continues on into his third spirit, which is a spirit of encouragement. With that vision and with that passion, Caleb had so much encouragement to the next generation because the mountain land that Caleb was about to conquer was the land that where the Anakims lived. Anakims are descendants of the Nephilims, which we know as the giants. So actually 45 years ago, when the spies went over and said, oh, the land is filled with people who are strong and tall, that is actually describing the people of the Anakim. And which means that all the young Israelites at the time who might have been 60 to 40 years old and even a little bit younger, they were hesitant to go and conquer the land of the Anakims. But Caleb, with his age, and with this passion and with this vision, asked Joshua to send them over, and he actually conquered that land. Can you imagine what kind of encouragement that he had been to that next generation? Caleb was a great person of encouragement and vision and passion. And I would like to share that I would like to see more Calebs in this congregation. My wife actually asked, why are you preaching on Caleb when we're having a back-to-school Sunday? You should continue on with your Joshua series. And this is what I said. Joshua needs a Caleb. And there's some people in our congregation who are actually Caleb generation who thinks that they are Joshua generation. So I need to waken them up and have the Caleb stand up for this next generation. Before I go on to this wholehearted life of journey, I wanted to share a story from the movie that was recently released. It's a movie called Inside Out, and I don't know if any of you had watched this. This is a great movie that shows the emotional struggle that this next generation might go through. Number one, what happens, this girl named Riley, she lives in Minnesota, and all of a sudden her father has to relocate his job to San Francisco. And in the process of that, with the new responsibilities that her father had to take over, his time, that the time that he usually spent with his family, started to break down. And he was on constant call of his responsibilities in the new job. So what happened? Family had broke down. Next thing is, as she relocates to the new school system, she's having a hard time finding friends. And when we don't have friends, you don't have that support system to talk about your emotional struggles. And then on top of that, what happens is, in Minnesota, Riley used to play ice hockey, but coming to San Francisco, she can't find any teams that can have her in ice hockey. And through that ice hockey, what happened, she had developed a sense of achievement, but without that sport, that achievement started to tumble down. And as the family and the friends and also the achievement tumbled down, what happened in her life, she was going through an emotional struggle that nearly pushed her to depression. Now, this is what our Joshua generation is going through. A lot of families are starting to tumble down. A lot of our friends, we have a hard time trying to fit in. But they all know in the bottom of their heart that it might not be the right way. A lot of time, we are pressured to achieve and to succeed, but actually, the sense of achievement is not there. And this is actually where the Caleb generation and the church has to step in. But if you think it in a different way, this is the same thing that the Caleb generation is experiencing as well. They might see their family members starting to grow up and leaving their houses with the emptiness syndrome. They might see their friends going to meet our Heavenly Father before they are in front of them. They might seem to have to struggle with the achievement, thinking that age is going to be a blockage of any kind of passion that they have. And that is why Caleb generation is so important. Because I want to encourage our Caleb generations to overcome these difficulties, to become an example to this Joshua generation, that we still live wholeheartedly following God for that passion that God gives us. I want to encourage our Caleb generations not being in the rut of those three crises in our lives, but overcoming them so we can set an example to this Joshua generation, saying that in God, we can still wholeheartedly follow God and overcome all these crises. And I want to encourage our Caleb generation, because you actually have to set an example. And when the Caleb sets an example, Joshua generation will follow their steps. So all the Caleb generations, I would love to encourage you and challenge you in a gentle way, telling you that God still has a purpose and a call in your life. And may you wholeheartedly follow that purpose and that call until the day that God greets you and says, "Welcome, faithful servant. You had done well. Rest in eternity with me." And may us see that this Joshua generation continues to follow us in your footsteps. Let us have a time of prayer. Lord, be with us, both the Caleb and Joshua generations, that they will continue to strive to follow your passion and your call. And as they wholeheartedly follow you, Lord, may you continue to be with them and strengthen them with your mighty hand, that they will be strong and courageous, and they will shine in this world. We thank you, and we pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.